This week on Potlatch, Yuri Ritkiu, Russian native author. The University of Alaska had an unusual and distinguished visitor in late January, Yuri Ritkiu, a native of one of the easternmost points in the world, the village of Welen, on the easternmost tip of the Chukchi Peninsula in Siberia. That's across the Bering Strait from the Seward Peninsula in Alaska. Ritkiu is a Chukchi. Chukchi is an ethnic group in the Eastern Soviet Union. As Ritkiu points out, the number of aboriginal peoples in the Soviet Union is very small.
Eskimo population is very small, about 1,200 people who really Eskimo can speak. And the Chukchi population is much more, about 13,000 people. It is Chukchi is one of the biggest people on the our north, because there are very small national groups. For example, Yukagirs, they are only 417. And they have a very prominent writer, very well known in the Soviet Union, writer Semyon Kurilov. He publishes many books, and he has many copies, maybe about 1 million copies.
Yuri Ritkiu tells the purpose of his trip to Alaska.
I dream to visit to Alaska maybe all my life, because we have very close relations before 1946. We have exchanged natives. Your people came for Chukotka, for my birthplace, Welen, and we had good meetings, cultural exchange. We danced and sung together, and we remembered our old tales, old stories, and sometime we exchanged by our hunting skillful. My main purpose coming here to remind our old feelings of friendship and close relationship, and to reestablish contacts, because we Arctic people have a common sense of one history. I shall try to acquaint myself with the wishes of the people of the Alaska, and the possibilities to have to reopen gate on frontier between our countries on the Bering Strait. I am not politic. I am fiction writer. And maybe it is reason my high optimistic feelings, but I believe we have both tendency to develop more close relationship. We have already good relationship in the science area, and maybe in industrial area we have exchanged my experience of the build constructions, on the permafrost. But we must, for me, maybe for me and for natives of the Asia, North East Asia, most important to have a cultural exchange. This is my main purpose coming here.
Ask an obvious question and you get an obvious answer. I asked Chukchi author Yuri Ritkiu what his native language is.
Native language is Chukchi language. And come not for Rumnan Tetwerken Murginetwarat Tilinjip Shimshinetwakenat. And come not Okinet. شيكي يعني أتول أتقنات لما مثل متقنات إنك أم زمجة واي تشيم أوركن متاد أغنات نامة كرومي كينات يلول أتل أتنك أم غريب لات I talk about in Chukchi language I talk about friend feelings between our peoples and our countries, and I hope that these feelings have to existence too in your side, on your side in Alaska.
Ritkiu compares the culture of Russian natives with that of Alaska natives.
There are very many cultural similarities, very many, and the same folklore, most of them. Then we have the same songs, same type of dances, and we have the same food too. It is cultural tradition. And clothes style the same, style of old life, same, no big differences. We can understand one another very easy.
At a press conference in the KUAC studio on January 25th, one reporter asked if Russian natives have problems similar to Alaska natives.
Only, I think, one problem to exchange, and to exchange more. Because culture can be developed by most wider exchanges, can develop to compare one another, can develop by good competition between one another. And maybe we have another problem, influence of the mass media culture. For example, everybody of the world now understand that more valley has a pure, simple, plain water. But we usually drink Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, Schweppes and one another. But we understand that most important and more good for people to drink pure spring water. And I think that all cultural traditions are a pure spring for contemporary culture too, because culture need supplying not only ideas from other countries, but most important to have ideas from his roots, because tree received nourishment from through roots from ground. That cultural tradition is my opinion. It is roots who keep people very solid on the earth.
Yuri Ritkiu now lives in a big city far from his native village of Wailin. But like a number of Alaska natives, he still goes back to a subsistence lifestyle.
I like most fishing. I don't like hunting. My parents were good hunters. And my uncle, Kmol, his name Kmol, was one of the very very famous hunter for polar bears. Mm-hmm. Maybe who they are listening to me now can remember Uncle Kmol from Welen.
At the University of Alaska press conference, one reporter asked if people still survive by subsistence hunting in the Soviet Union.
Yes, because I avoid to touch political questions, but I think that one of the best possibilities which gave socialism is to protect native style and to have possibilities to develop own style of life. And we have in Chukotka many hunters and fish collective farms, fishing collective farms, and you can meet on the Bering Strait and floating ice my countrymen who had good education but prefer to hunt, not to be some bureaucracy. We have in the Soviet Union, they have a very important representative. She proposed new law which was received by government to protect, special law to protect Arctic nature from spoiling by from industry. Wrangel Island proclaims it a national park and forbidden to build any industrial plants.
I asked Ritkiu if, like Alaskans, Siberian hunters are finding game animals scarcer than before.
Yes, we have the same problem, yeah, but yeah. We have very strict laws for protect only. We have very free for natives for hunting for existence, those self-supply by food, not for selling outside of community.
Ritkiu said Russian hunters are enjoying an abundant harvest of walruses, but still the Soviet Union enforces laws against poaching. I asked if native hunters get preference in times of scarcity.
Yes, we have. For example, I permanently live in Leningrad. I can go fishing in the Chukotka, and have a special permission for have fish for my family. But my friend who live in Providence, he has not it because he's Russian. It is a little complication, but. It protects native life.
Yuri Ritkiu explains an unusual addition to technology to aid subsistence hunters in remote areas. In the Soviet Union, they use helicopters
to transport hunters to special places in which built a small lodge cabin for hunters because his area very big. But we have we use helicopters mostly in reindeer industry because very long distances.
Ritkiu also said using helicopters avoids damage to the fragile tundra of the Soviet Union. He said the government has a special fund for helicopters to fly medicine to far off rural villages.
Very important, but. And very much money for very big medicine fund for helicopter service in tundra, but some use these flights for inspection, not only for medicine service, because no need too much medicine service, because, for example, these tundra people is very strong. Usually they have good health. I myself used very many times medicine helicopter for travel through the country to visit.
I've been in South Dakota, I've been in Arizona, I've been to Minnesota, and I've been to Oklahoma, I've been to Montana, and I've been to Wyoming. That's time for all you reservation cowboys.
Woo!
Ritkiu was asked if young natives in the Soviet Union can speak their own language.
Some, very few, who live in the big cities and the big towns. Some of them have no possibility to speak native, but on the villages, maybe all of children can speak native language. But we have special required teaching native language in primary school.
Ritkiu said schools in the Soviet Union teach native languages and native cultures.
There are some special rooms in the school in which exhibitions, not only grammar rules, but some hunting tools.
I asked if natives in the Soviet Union can go to school in their own villages or if they have to be flown to schools far away.
Each small village has a school, a primary school. Many people not like to live separate from children. The Soviet Union, just now on the hour at Chukotka, there is a big discussion about small villages, because a small village by law must have not only school, but store, post office, medicine and medicine and very many very but each for example postman he must have big payment, doctor must have and everybody receive from government payment. For small village, there is a big discuss to make more. Most of the natives, Chukchi and Eskimo, don't want to leave old places and to move another. It's a big problem. There are some special colleges for training, some engineering and some specialists for service renderers and some of the mechanics, but it is not only for natives, because we have no divide, schools and education not divide for native and for Russian, the same schools, the same colleges.
I asked Ritkiu if he had heard of the Alaska land claims movement.
Yes, we have no private property on the land. No problem.
Ritkiu says it's possible the Soviet Union will send natives to further meetings of Eskimos, such as the Inuit Circumpolar Conference. If so, the Russian Eskimos would support the land claims movement in non-socialist countries. Ritkiu was asked if the Soviet Union is concerned with environmental issues.
Yes, very much. We have very many societies to protect nature, wildlife, to protect islands, church, old church, old architecture, rivers. And another side, we have the last time our government received very many strict laws to protect nature.
Chukchi writer Yuri Ritkiu, who writes fiction for television and motion pictures in the Soviet Union. I'm Jeff Kennedy. Thanks for listening.
Potlatch came to you from KUAC in Fairbanks. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting gave some of the money to produce this program.
From the University of Alaska, this has been a KUAC production.